This is Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert on new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
We'll be talking some Chiefs and some AFC West coming up at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. We'll discuss more on that Shan Zenger contract extension. We talked a little bit yesterday. We didn't really dive that deep into it. But right now we're going to welcome on our good friend from the Kansas City Star, Jesse Newell, back onto the program. Jesse, before we get going with basketball and KU and everything that involves, I know you're a baseball fan, and everybody who seems to be a baseball fan is talking about this baseball fight that happened on Memorial Day. Do you enjoy the baseball fight discussions, or do you find them old and beaten down at this point?
I kind of enjoy them. You know, it's just something different. You know, I remember back in the day, this dates me a little bit, but you remember when Sweeney charged the mound? Mike Sweeney?
Yeah.
I mean, that was just like, I was just in shock when it happened, and fortunately for him, his helmet toss is a little bit better than Bryce Harper's, but it is fascinating, and I also kind of like the Zapruder film sort of coverage that comes afterwards, where people go back to screenshots and see who's defending who and who's not and who's headbutting who. So it's kind of fascinating to me. I don't mind it at all.
No, I like it too, and I like the arguments that they spurn, because sometimes at this point in the year, I mean, we're about to hit June and the month of July, when sports kind of calm down a little bit once the NBA's over, and then we're searching for things to talk about. This is, I mean, it's how Major League Baseball leads off SportsCenter and gets everybody talking about them. And I like the, well, my favorite argument is there any place for this in sports and baseball? And I say absolutely there's place for this in baseball, because of the fact that you get everybody talking about it. Like, Major League Baseball is posting videos of their fights to their website, and they're racking up 1-2 million views in a matter of 24 hours. Like, I think it's great. And then it just spurns the discussions of, well, who should have been suspended more? Whose fault was it? The unwritten rules of baseball. I love baseball fight talk.
Yeah, I know, and you're right. It gets some interest into what sometimes can be a little bit of a long grind of a baseball season. And it also just kind of adds a little bit to especially Bryce Harper, you know, adds a little bit to his personality. You know, a lot of times we talk, you know, Mike Trout, how good he is, and, you know, one of the best players ever, but he doesn't, you know, he doesn't really have the personality, doesn't really get involved in stuff like this. So it's kind of, I mean, you know, people watch wrestling for the same reason, or soap operas, or, you know, late night dramas, where it's some people turn heel, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of nice to have not only a hero, if you will, but also sometimes have a guy that people don't like. So, yeah, I just think it adds to the drama of it. It's part of why we watch. It's part of why we're all human. So, yeah, bring it on for me. I like it quite a bit.
Over Memorial Day weekend, Shan Zenger was extended as KU AD through the 2021 season. He receives, what, a 13% pay increase, up to $700,000 next year. And there's also some bonuses that are kind of laid in there. Were you surprised by the timing of this?
You know, I don't think I was as much as some other people were that I've talked to. I think if you think about the timing of this and maybe some of the semantics that go on with contracts, and especially coaching contracts and athletic department contracts, you can kind of see where this came from. If you think about a coach going into the last year of his deal, or a manager, or anything really in sports, you don't see many guys go into the last year of their deal and fulfill it without getting either a contract extension or getting fired, because basically that shows no faith that the school has in that person to fulfill their job. And then also it kind of takes a little bit of power away from them. You kind of get a little bit of a lame duck aspect where you think, okay, that guy really isn't in charge, because, you know, the school that is paying him and then put him in charge hasn't even committed to him further than, you know, 3 or 4 or 5, 6 months down the road. So this just seems to me more like a timing thing. You know, the chancellor, Burnett Gray Little, stepping down, you know, at the end of the summer, and then Phyllis Sherrod taking over in a few months here. It's just a little bit of the awkward timing where Shane Zenger's contract was going to run out at the end of 2018, and this seems like kind of a natural thing to do. You know, if you look at it, he gets a 3-year extension. Okay, so he gets extended to 2021. But if you go in the contract, which we have a story up on KansasCity.com about it that we posted yesterday that has the contract extension, there's a buyout in there, which I figured there probably would be. He can't get paid more than $1.4 million. Now, that sounds like a lot of money, but, I mean, if you have the wrong guy in that position and you're talking about big-time college athletics, you can get $1.4 million from donors. I mean, you can get him out of there, and that's the maximum amount. If he has less than 2 years left on his contract, he would get less than that. So I feel like you had to make some sort of move with Shane Zenger. You had to either extend him or basically get rid of him, and they're not really at the point with a chancellor and bringing in a new chancellor where it would be fair for a guy to step in and then 1 or 2 months into the job say, this guy isn't doing the job, he's out of here. So I guess I'm a little bit surprised, or a little less surprised than most people, just because I just feel like this is kind of what had to happen. Something had to happen in this interim period where they're switching over chancellors. And Shane Zinger, at least I'll give him a little bit more time to evaluate the football program and kind of the biggest factor in what will be moving forward for both, obviously David Bailey's job security, but also Shane Zinger's, looking at that football program and how much progress that it's making.
We've got Jesse Newell here on Rock Chalk Sports Talk, New FM 101.7, 1320 KLWN. And to that point, that seems almost the direct tie-in to his extension and his future with Kansas is that football program. We know how the Charlie Weiss hire went, but now heading into year three of the David Beatty era, it does kind of seem like maybe if Beatty can start racking up some wins, then all of a sudden he's going to secure even more of job security at Kansas. So is that, you think that's the right way to operate with the AD, whoever it may be at Kansas, where, hey, your job right now, we know what KU basketball is going to do. That's self-sustaining. Your job is getting this football program reinvigorated.
Yeah, it's really difficult too, because again, there are a lot of factors involved here. So if we sit here and say football is the only factor, you know, it's unfair, because you know, you think about it, you could have said this, you know, whatever it was 15 years ago with KU basketball. KU basketball is rolling, doesn't need any help. It's going to roll along just fine with Roy Williams. And then they, you know, KU brings in an athletic director with Al Bull, and he doesn't get along with Roy Williams, and Roy gets the chance to leave for North Carolina a couple years later and decides to do it partly because of his relationship with the athletic director. So, you know, I believe it's Soren Petro on 810, he always talks about it. Well, you don't get credit for not wrecking the car, you know what I mean? So I don't know how much credit Shane Zinger gets for, you know, basically just maintaining a good relationship with Bill Self. But again, that can go off the rails. And if you ask most KU fans, probably priority number one for the entire program, and you've seen it from dollars and from support and from, you know, attention to the specific program, is keep men's basketball rolling. And if you look around, you know, KU has the DeBruce Center now. KU has McCarthy Hall. And basically, if Bill Self asks for something, and, you know, the donors provide it, and Shane Zinger signs off on it, and that makes the program very happy. And you saw some very complimentary quotes from Bill Self in the release that came out about Shane Zinger's contract extension. So, yeah, all of that's there. I would think that's goal number one. But, you know, your point remains, is that Shane Zinger was partly brought to Kansas to resurrect the football program because of his football background. He used to be an assistant coach, a football assistant coach, which is rare for, you know, athletic director to have. And so the one thing that's going to always be tied to him, you know, is the Charlie Weiss hire. I mean, that was a complete and utter disaster. No matter which way you look at it, which way you slice it, you know, KU having to eat all those millions of dollars at the end of the contract. And if you look back, athletic directors don't often get to hire a football coach, fire that same football coach, and then hire a new football coach. Usually in top Division I athletics, you get to hire your football coach, and then once you fire him, somebody else, the new athletic director, hires the next one. So Shane Zinger maybe got a little bit lucky in that regard, but again, now that he has hired David Beatty, and now that everybody understood that there was going to be a little bit of a rebuilding process that took place then, you give him a couple years, and you say, okay, we'll see what happens with this moving forward. And along with that, the big thing looming over football is not only getting victories, but getting enough momentum and enough of a donor base to get Memorial Stadium a renovation, because it is the worst stadium in the Big 12. I mean, there's really no way around it, that place needs to be upgraded, and it is going to be a substantial renovation needed because of the Coliseum style that it is, because it's an older stadium, because there's a lot of things on the inner structure that need to be fixed to have it have a better and more clean look. So, yeah, football is most important. You see that in the contract. There was specific language in his contract extension saying that a lot of attention will be paid to football. There was that $40,000 that he gets in a bonus if the football program goes 6-6 or better. So I think it's pretty clear in that wording, and pretty clear also from Shane Zinger's words moving forward. I talked to him on Sunday, and he said, yeah, that football and the Memorial Stadium renovations are the two of the top priorities moving forward. And I don't think there's any question that those are two of the biggest things heading all the way to 2021 if he continues with his contract, that are going to be looked at and that he's going to be evaluated on. So I guess we'll all see how it goes from there.
And it seems like all of those things are kind of intertwined, right? Like if David Beatty has success, then you get the money to build a stadium, and then Shane Zinger keeps his job and everybody's one big happy family. But, you know, if David Beatty, we go two or three more years and the progress seems to have stagnated a little bit, donors aren't chilling out the money, then all of a sudden, maybe there is less job security. Is it as simple as that? Am I oversimplifying it?
You know, I'm not sure that you are. Again, there's a lot of factors involved. I don't want to single down an athletic director's role to just, hey, how does he oversee football? But again, if you're brought in to kind of oversee football, and because of your expertise in football, and you've made your hire, and they've brought in their recruits, and they've done things that they want to do, and they've renovated the locker rooms, and you've given them what they've asked for, and kind of your sights or your vision is in place for the football program, and let's say the football program went 1-11 this year, well, then, yeah, that's not a good sign for you. And, you know, KU is just kind of operating from a different place than so many other schools. I mean, again, if this was another school, if this was a Texas, then maybe Shane Zenger would have been let go before because of the poor hire that Charlie Weiss was and how far that set back the football program. But because it's Kansas and because men's basketball kept rolling along, you know, I've kind of made the comparison that it's your car. It's kind of like my 98 Camry that I was driving around a couple months ago. Like your car that you know there's a bunch of stuff wrong with, but it still gets you to work and back. You don't really check under the hood that much. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying there's a bunch of problems with KU's program because they have improved in other sports. And some of, you know, there is Rock Chalk Park and there is, again, the DeBruce Center and all these other construction projects that have happened. But kind of because men's basketball hasn't fallen off the track, you can see where a lot of KU fans and donors wouldn't be as upset with Shane Zenger as, you know, if basketball fell off the track and then football was really bad. That might kind of bring it to a boiling point. So, yeah, we'll see moving forward. But it definitely, again, from the wording in the contract, from Shane Zenger's own words, it seems like football is a major focus moving forward. Basketball is always a priority, but football, KU needs to get more from it in future years.
We're talking to Jesse Newell of the KC Star here on Rock Chalk Sports Talk for just a couple more minutes. New FM 101.7, 1320 KLWN. You posted a piece up earlier today on the Star's website talking about KU. They've bumped up the three-point shooting the past couple of years in terms of volume and as well as their efficiency and their percentage. Next year, on paper, seems like they've got a lot of good shooters returning and a couple new ones brought into the fold in the form of Malik Newman and potentially Sam Cunliffe. Do you think that the three-point shooting volume numbers are going to stay as prodigious as they've been?
Yeah, it's kind of a fascinating question because I actually kind of stole this from the guys at Rock Chalk Talk who also do a podcast on KU basketball. They answered a question about this too, because if you just add up the number of attempts at those five guys that are returning, it almost equals how many threes that KU shot last year. And KU shot, as we know, last year more threes than they ever have under Bill Self. So you see a lot of these shooters, the Svi Mykhailiuks, the Devontae Grahams, the Malik Newmans, the Sam Cunliffe, the Gerald Vicks, that you think those guys need to be shooting threes. And all of them shot better than 37% a year ago or the last college season that they've played. And, you know, a lot of them are in the 40, 41% mark, which is really, really efficient and where you want to get them more shots. The problem just kind of lies in, when you shoot threes, you kind of need a buddy. You need somebody to help create for you. You need somebody to open you up. And this is not a team that really looks like it has a Frank Mason on it, you know, or a Josh Jackson, where they can put their head down, get to the lane, and kick out. And that's what those guys were so good at doing last year. And, again, the most natural fit for that seems like Devontae Graham. But, again, a lot of people are expecting him to take a greater offensive role and kind of create more shots for himself when you're thinking, okay, wait a minute, if Malik Newman and Svi Mykhailiuk are on the floor, Devontae's got to create for them again. And, you know, we've talked all along about, hey, Devontae's deferred, and he's had to defer, and he kind of waited his time at Kansas. Well, you know, if you're going to get these two guys shots, and then they're such good three-point shooters, he might be kind of doing some of the same things again this next year, just because of kind of the makeup of KU's roster and not having a lot of other playmakers on the floor to create for those guys. So, again, we'll see how it plays out. Some of that can be created through the offense as well. We've seen KU teams in the past, you know, they throw it inside, they kick it back out and get the open threes, that sort of thing. Those teams didn't shoot as many threes as last year's team, so it'll kind of be a fascinating trend to watch. So they have a bunch of these outside shooters. They have a bunch of guys that seem to deserve a high volume of three-point shots, but how are you going to get the open ones? And it's really tough to create those on your own, and it's going to be really tough if Devontae Graham doesn't have a million assists next year. So that'll be kind of one of the fascinating subplots to figure out. As we know, KU, Bill Self and his staff went to small ball last year. It worked out great. They kind of solved the problems on the fly, and I think this might be another one where they're going to have to do some tweaking and figure some things out on the fly to figure out how they can have the highest offensive ceiling come 2017-2018.
Yeah, Devontae's pretty fascinating looking at his senior campaign, because I don't think that anyone would argue that he's not going to have a great senior year because of the fact that he's kind of had to bide his time and he was as good of a third fiddle as you had in the country this past year. And the numbers are very similar, if not even better, than what Frank Mason had done through three seasons. But their games aren't similar. Like, they just don't play the same way, especially in the half court, where Devontae last year, I mean, if you were to describe him in one word, actually, this is three words, so this doesn't count, but spot-up shooter. I'd say he's a shooter, right? Because that's how he got majority of his offense I do wonder what it's going to look like him being that guy, because Frank was so good at getting into the teeth of the defense and distributing for others. You add Josh Jackson into the mix. I don't think I would argue that Devontae's not going to have a big season. I'm just not sure what it's going to look like.
Yeah, and with Frank Mason and Josh Jackson, the threat is always there for them, not only to drive, but to drive to get a layup in the half court. And we saw a lot last year with Devontae Graham, is that his drives were to get to a pull-up shot, or to get to a 12-footer or a 14-footer, or some to kick to teammates. But again, there's just not that threat as much that a Tyshawn Taylor has brought in the past, or a Sherron Collins has brought in the past, or Frank Mason has brought in the past, where if I get my shoulders by you, I'm going to score at the rim, and when you start to come and respect that and help, then I'm going to kick out for the open three. So, like you said, I mean, he's a great player, and he's going to be the unquestioned leader, and he's a good defender, and we know he can shoot all these things. But it just, this roster construction just fascinates me for Kansas, because they have a lot of these wing-type players, and then you have a leader in Devontae Graham, where a lot of people are expecting him to take that next step and be the leader and be the scoring guy and all this stuff. And the more I look at it, the more I think, you know, he might have to defer again. He might be a guy that's getting Malik Newman and three McCulloch open shots. And again, that might be what's best for Kansas's offense. So all of this is off-season talk. All of this is talk when the season's 6 months away. But again, how these pieces are all going to fit and how the coaching staff is going to make it fit is going to be one of the storylines of 2017-18. And we'll go a long way towards if KU is able to make it 14 straight Big 12 titles.
Thanks for the time, Jesse.
All right, thanks, Nick.
All righty, that's Jesse Newell. I'm Nick Schwert, Rock Chalk Sports Talk. New FM 101.7, 1320 KLWN. We'll be talking more Shan Zenger coming up in the next hour. But up next, the Chiefs and the AFC West. Who's their biggest rival next year in the division?